So we are continuing on in our series on Hilchos Tefillin. Tonight, Mr. Shem will discuss a couple of very, very important shailas. What I would like to get to predominantly tonight is to discuss the question of how many brachas do we recite when we put on our tefillin. Do we make one bracha on each of the tefillin, meaning one bracha on the Shal Rosh and one on the Shal Yad, or does one bracha go on for both? We'll see different minhagim, different understandings. But before that, we didn't get to this last week, and I think it's extremely, extremely important. We left off last week in source one, is the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch writes, Yechavim b'hanachasam. When a person puts on tefillin in the morning, he has to have something in mind. And this is very difficult. A, because it requires brain power, we have to be thinking. And B, it means we have to be awake when we're putting on our tefillin, not half asleep. So Shulchan Aruch writes, Yichavim b'anachasam. One must have in mind, when he puts on tefillin every single morning, Shetzivanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Laniach Arba Parshiyos, that Hashem commanded us to put on these four parshiyos. Sheyesh Bem Yichud Shmoy. What is so special about the tefillin? What is so special about the parashios that are housed in the boxes of the tefillin? Because they have in there Yichud Shmoy. The idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, V'yitzias Mitzrayim, the fact that He took us out of Mitzrayim. Al Hazroya, we put that opposite on our arm, Keneged Alev, which opposite our heart. V'al HaRosh, we put it on our head, Keneged HaMoch, opposite our brain. Why? So we should remember the miracles and the amazements that Hashem has done with us. Because they prove, they teach, they guide, they show that Hashem is one. He has the power in the upper worlds and in the lower worlds to do His will. The way, because Hashem does miracles, is a sign, it's the proof that He is really the only one running the world. Because if you would not be in control, you would not be able to perform a miracle. The Yishabid LaKadosh Baruch Hu HaNeshama, and therefore we are Mishabid. We become we owe Him. We become Shibud to our Neshama, Shehi B'moich, that comes from our brain, the Gam HaLev, and also our heart. Why? Shehu Iker HaTaiva V'HaMechshavos. All thoughts and taivas obviously originate in our brain, but they really start off in the heart. U'bezeh Yisker HaBoire, and by thinking this, we'll remember Hashem, V'yamit HaNa'osav, we'll try to decrease our worldly pleasures. So the Shulchan Aruch lays out for us a very, very important thought process that one must think of every single morning when one puts on the tefillin. It's not enough just to put on tefillin. It's not even enough to say, I'm doing God's will by putting on the tefillin. I have to have specific, detailed kavono when putting on the tefillin. There are three mitzvahs in the Torah where you need to have specific conscious decision, thought process when doing, and it's not enough just to have the general, generic mitzvah srichas kavana. And the three are tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah. These three mitzvahs are all recorded in the Torah and in Shulchan Aruch. They all require a above normal level of kavana. Not just the regular idea that I'm doing because it's Hashem's will. When I eat matzah, all I need to think is I'm eating this, you know, crunchy bread, because Hashem said so. When I blow shofar, I'm thinking I'm doing this because Hashem said so. When it comes to these three mitzvahs, and we're talking about tefillin tonight, that is not enough. You need to go above that, and you got to be thinking all that we just said. You need to be thinking that your Hashem runs the world, that Hashem performs miracles, and my arm is where my heart is, and my brain is where my tefillin is. All this needs to be thought of when one puts on the tefillin every single day. And if one does not think this, it's possible, and perhaps he renders his mitzvah not valid, but not 100% complete, which is a shame. You can have people who spend their entire life putting on tefillin, and they won't get the full credit that they deserve because they always did it half-baked. They always did it without the full completion of the mitzvah because they lacked this thought process. And the Mishnah Berurah elaborates at number 2. The Mishnah Berurah writes, quoting from the Bach, that the Bach wants to know, why by this mitzvah do I have to have this thought process? Why can't I just get away with the general, generic of mitzvah srichas kavana? I'm thinking Hashem commanded me. So he writes, quoting from the Bach, it's in Ches and Hechas Tzitzis, midichsiv ha'yil l'chol o'is al yodecha, because by tefillin the Torah wrote something special. It wrote that the tefillin should be on your arm as a sign, l'man tia teres Hashem b'ficha, in order that the Torah should be in your mouth, ki b'yad chazak o'itziyacha. You have to know, the mitzvah over here is dependent upon your thought process, that you have in mind when you do the mitzvah. So now the question is, and if I didn't think that, let's say I wake up tomorrow morning and I'm half asleep and I'm dead to the world and I'm happy I put on the tefillin and I'm happy I just thought that I'm doing it because Hashem commanded me, but I didn't think all of this, as the Mishnah Berurah,
as long as I thought
And that is at least the baseline you have to think, that I'm at least doing it because Hashem saw it so. I'm Yoitze, which means I am not fulfilling my mitzvah in its complete version. The complete version is to think all of this. However, if I did not think that because I didn't know that, or because I'm half asleep, but at least I thought to myself, I'm doing this because Hashem commanded me, that would be enough of a fulfillment. But again, it's not the complete version of the mitzvah. If one wants to get the complete version of the mitzvah, he needs to have this thought process. Says the Malbum in number 3 in the Sefer Otzer Sachayim, which is a very popular Sefer. Now, most of us don't look at the Malbum as a halachic commentary. We think of the Malbum as a commentary to the Navi. That's not the way it happened. The way the story goes is the Malbum was writing a Sefer, which he did, called the Otzer Sachayim, and he was a big Pesach. He spent Shabbos one week by the Chassam Sofer. And the way it used to be before they had electric lights was it was dark, Shalosh Shabbos time, because it's nighttime and the candles burned out. And the Chassam Sofer accidentally was sitting in the Chassam Sofer seat. And when the lights turned on afterwards, he was mortified to realize that he was sitting in the Kadol Ador seat. And the Chassam Sofer told him, stay where you are. So he took that as a message that stay where you are is stop writing halacha svarim and change over to writing a commentary on the Chumash. So the Malbum, although was en route to become one of the greatest Pesachim of our generation, he kind of cut back and stopped and decided to go more of the commentary on Chumash and Navi and the other things. But we do have some stuff from him. So one of the stuff we have him is a sefer called Artzer Sechaim, where he does discuss Tefillah and Tzitzis, the earlier simonim in Shulchan Aruch. So the Malbum writes, "Ubeinyan amiras l'shemichud." Many people say the Shem Yichud before they do every mitzvah. But there are those people that don't say the Shem Yichud on every mitzvah, but they do say it when it comes to this mitzvah. Why? Who b'hagdoma say v'shari tefillah kvar nogu kol yorei Hashem hachasidah v'anshemayis al amrei. Why should you say the Shem Yichud by tefillin? Because in the L'Shem Yichud it has this line that we just saw from the Shulchan Aruch. So if you're going to say the L'Shem Yichud, you perhaps will fulfill the mitzvah, the complete version, because you're going to recite the words that we just read. Now, if you don't speak Hebrew, it doesn't help, because you don't know what you're saying. So I would suggest if you're going to say the L'Shem Yichud, at least it's basic Hebrew, but make sure you understand what you're saying. So if you're not going to say the L'Shem Yichud, at least think in your mind when you're putting on your tefillin tomorrow morning, and for many, many more mornings that you put on the tefillin, what the Shulchan Aruch just told us, that I'm putting on the tefillin to remind me that these boxes contain the parashas, and these parashas contain the fact that Hashem is one, He runs the world, He takes out of Mitzrayim, He controls everything, and my mind and my brain are Mishubat to Him, and by doing so, hopefully I will decrease my earthly desires.
So the Mechavah's intention that you have these thoughts before you put them
yes.
on, or as you put them on?
Before, or at least while. At some point you should have them.
Right.
Not, you know...
There's a difference between the Shalyad and the Shalrosh, what you're supposed to be thinking of.
No, the difference really just is the Shalyad is connected my heart, and my Shalrosh is opposite my brain. That's really the difference between the two. Now, what we just mentioned earlier, that if you don't have this additional idea of kavanah, you yoytze b'di'evet. What happens if you have no kavanah? You wake up in the morning, you put your tefillah on and half asleep, just waiting for the IV of coffee to be put into you. You're so dead to the world. You put on your tefillah, you don't even know you davened. Are you yoytze the mitzvah of tefillin? So on the simplest level, the answer is absolutely not. Tefillin is a mitzvah deraisa. For mitzvahs deraisa, we have a principle, mitzvahs tzrichas kavanah. They need to have kavanah. The lowest level of kavanah means I know that I'm fulfilling Hashem's will. So if I come tomorrow morning and all I do is I say to myself, okay, I'd really rather be in bed, but I'm putting on these boxes because Hashem said so, that's fulfillment of mitzvah tzrichas kavanah. That is not a fulfillment of what the Shulchan Aruch just told us. You will not get that, but at least you'll get something. However, if you don't even think that much, which I tend to believe many people don't think, practically, simply speaking, you didn't even fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, which is based on what we said last week. The Be'er Halacha says, if so, you perhaps are in a violation of never wearing tefillin your whole life, because the tefillin that you wore didn't count. So it's like you weren't wearing tefillin, which is a very scary thought to think, that we're going to come to Acham Eves, and we learned last week how beautiful tefillin is. It's connected this, it's connected that. I get all this reward, and then Hashem says, no, you get nothing. You weren't thinking that. So many people hang their hats on the Be'er Halacha. There's a Be'er Halacha in Simin Samach, where the Shulchan Aruch discusses Mitzvah Sichas Kavanah, where the Be'er Halacha quotes a Chai Adam, where the Chai Adam perhaps comforts many of us. And the Chai Adam writes like this. V'da'oid. The Be'er Halacha quotes. The Kosev HaChai Adam B'chlal Samachas. The Chai Adam writes. D'ma'ad imetzrochinon le'lach z'v'lasis ha-mitzvah. When do you have to repeat a mitzvah that was done without kavanah? Ha'ini b'makim sheish litu sh'asiyah rishayin ole'hoish l'shem mitzvah. That's when you do a mitzvah where it's not clear from the act itself that you wanted to do the mitzvah. Keep going. Let's say you blew a shofar. We can't tell if you're doing it to learn how to blow a shofar or if you're doing it for the mitzvah. Then your kavana dictates what the action was. Oi, be kriyashma. Or let's say you're saying kriyashma, And why are you saying Kriya Shema? We don't know if you're doing it for the mitzvah, you're doing it because you want to teach your class Kriya Shema. Avlim kari Kriya Shema kederuch shayin akurim say this. But if you say Kriya Shema at night in shul, v'chein sh'ochol matzah, oitoka, v'not alulav, av b'shuloi kivein, you have no kavon at all. Zog techayodim yotza. The Chayodim has a svara that the action becomes the kavana. Again, I have no. If you ask me, what are you doing? I'll be like, oh, I'm putting on tefillin. So that is enough kavana, says the Chayodim, for mitzvah srichas kavana. As opposed to doing an action which is not clear, meaning everyone knows that putting on tefillin in the morning is because it's a mitzvah. No one else would do that. So therefore, zok the Chayodim, that's enough to supplement mitzvah srichas kavana. Now, lefizeh, that's going to be our saving grace. For all those of us that don't have at least a base level kavan in the morning, we'll be semichan lechayodim. There's only one problem. The Be'er Halacha writes, he writes over, le'inyin b'dieved, this chayodim is only after the fact. Avu lechadchila, vaday tzorich, lizor, lechavin, koidim, kol mitzvah, lotzis, dechavis ha-mitzvah. So after Be'er Halacha, if you want to know before the fact, before you do any mitzvah deraisa, you should have in mind that I'm doing this because it's one of Hashem's commandments. So tomorrow morning, when we wake up, we should have in mind when we're putting on a tefillin, A, at least, that I'm doing this because it's a mitzvah deraisa, and B, we should lechatchila have the kavanas of the Shulchan Aruch. So if you say l'shem yichud, you're going to read that in the l'shem yichud. So if you know how to translate the words, you'll be able to be mekayness. But if you don't say l'shem yichud, or you don't know Hebrew, you should practice this tomorrow before you put on tefillin to make sure you're having the proper thoughts to be yotze the mitzvah in its complete version, kitikuna.
According to him, if circus is just sitting at the table and it happens to be Dalman, you're reading the paper, you don't even think, you just happen to pick it up, you don't even think.
Maybe not. It has to be that the storyline is
has to be some
indicator that you're doing this for the mitzvah. Everyone's in shul, and someone asks you, "What are you doing?" I went to shul to daven ma'ariv. Okay, so that's kavan. Over here, if you're completely absent mind, that might be a misasik. That might be a different level. Okay, this is what we were supposed to cover last week. So now we're going to move on. I think it's a very important lesson. And again, it's true for tzitzis also. When we put on our tzitzis, we put on our talz godl, you have to have the same thought process. Then l'shem yichud is a little different. But again, these three mitzvahs, sukkah, tefillin, and tzitzis, all require specific, above the level of regular mitzvah shichas kavana, you have to have a more specific detail. Okay, what I want to get to tonight is the discussion of the brachas on the tefillin. Perhaps the most controversial part of all of Hilchas tefillin is the brachas that we make on our tefillin. Now, obviously, you ask anyone in shul, what brachas do you make? Well, any Ashkenazi, be careful, depends who you ask. Sfaradi or Ashkenazim, we'll see, it's not even so simple anymore. It's not a perfect split Ashkenazim, Sfaradim. I'll prove to you Ashkenazim will also only make one bracha. But most Ashkenazim Jews make two brachas, one bracha lohaniach on their shalrosh, ayad, and al mitzvah tefillin on their shalrosh. Most Sfaradim only make one bracha. What is that all about, and what is the issue? So it all goes back, like all good shaylas, they find their way back to the pages of the Gemara and to the pages of the Rishayim. There's a Gemara in Menachos Daf Lamed Vav. Most of Hilchas tefillin is found in Menachos. If you ever want to learn Menachos, that's where you're going to find a lot of what's called Stam, about the Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos is found in the Blot in Menachos. So the Gemara writes like this, Amar of Chizda, Soch bein Tefillah leTefillah. If someone spoke between putting on one of his Tefillah leTefillah, meaning between his Tefillin Shayan and Tefillin Sharosh, Choyze u'mevarech, he has to then make another bracha on the Tefillin Sharosh. So the Gemara asks, Soch in loy soch loy? He only has to make another bracha if he spoke? Which sounds like if he didn't speak, then he'd only make one bracha. Ayva shalach rav chia breidev huna b'shmei de b'yoychinon. Al tefilo shol yar omar, baruch hashem k'dushan mitzvah tzivan ala niach tefillin. Al tefilo shol roish, omar baruch hashem k'dushan mitzvah tzivan ala mitzvah tefillin. So the Gemara's kasha is, you make it sound like you only make two brachas if you spoke. But if you didn't speak, you only make one bracha. That's not true. The Gemara says, mefurish, that everyone makes two brachas, one in the shol yar and shol in the shol roish. So zog the Gemara, abayi v'rovi dami tervayu, loy soch mevarach achas, soch mevarach shtayim. What does that mean in English? That loisach, if you didn't speak, then you take away one bracha. If you spoke, you make two brachas. So how do we answer the kasha? What's the teretz of the Gemara? So if you look in Rashi number 6, Zok Rashi, bein tefila letefila, bein shayad l'shalroish, the siper koidim sheyaniach oisem al-roish, he spoke before he put on the shalroish, lohaniach, the b'shayad mascha lohaniach, mitzvah still in the achshav gomes ha-mitzvah, okay? Loisach, Zok Rashi, einu b'varach al-achas, al-shayad b'vad. Soch, Mevarach shtayim. So Rashi learned the Gemara Kipshutai. Soch, if you spoke, that's when you make two Kiddush Alech Reb Chia. But loisach, ein a mevarach ela al shol yad bilvad. Rashi's shita is that if you don't interrupt between the two brachas, you only make one bracha. So according to Rashi, tomorrow morning, you only make one bracha. You make one bracha on both shol yad and shol roish, no two independent brachas. That is shita's Rashi. Unbelievable. Rashi Shita, and we always assume we follow Rashi. Rashi Shita is one bracha on the tefillin. So who argues? His grandson, Rabbeinu Tam. If you look in number 7, Taisvis writes, Pirish Bekuntris, Loi Soch Mevarach Achas, Bein Shal Yad, Bein Shal Roish, Soch Mevarach Shtayim Laniach, Tefillin B'Shal Yad, Val Mitzvah Tefillin B'Shal Roish, Rabbeinu Tam, Pirish, not like that. Rabbeinu Tam, the Enikul of Rashi, disagrees with the Zayda. Now we know Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi had their disagreements about tefillin. They argued about the parshas of tefillin. We had a share about that a few months ago. Soch Rabbeinu Tam, Loi Soch Mevarach Achas. Rabbeinu Tam says, you misread the Gemara. The way you read the Gemara is like this. Loi Soch, if you didn't talk, then Mevarach Achas, that you make one bracha. Not one bracha complete on both, one bracha on the Shal Rosh, and one on the Shal Yad also. That's how you read the Gemara. Loi Soch, Mevarach Achas, L'Shal Rosh. Mevarach Amitzvah's Tefillin, Shizuhi Brachasai. Soch, Mevarach Beis. If you spoke, you make two brachas. What are the two brachas? L'Shal Rosh, L'Haniach, V'Al Amitzvah's. I mean, you make the two brachas and the Shal Rosh. The whole discussion of the Gemara, says Rabbeinu Tam, was what do you do with the Rosh? The Shal Yad was never discussed. Of course you make a bracha on the Shal Yad. So therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, you always make two brachas. You make one bracha on the Shal Yad, and you make one bracha on the Shal Rosh. And if you spoke, you make two brachas on the Shal Rosh. That's how Rabbeinu Tam understood the Gemara. That's what we do. So this is such a twist of irony. We were Rashi's tefillin, following Rabbeinu Tam's brachas. Go figure. Unbelievable. We all wear, I shouldn't say all, many of us wear Rashi's tefillin as opposed to Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, or opposed to Arizal's tefillin, but when it comes to the brachas, we don't follow Rashi, or many of us, we follow Rabbeinu Tam. So the reason why we today, Achenu B'nei Ashkenaz, make two brachas on our tefillin, is not following Rashi, who was the head of Ashkenazic Jewry in his time, but rather we follow his grandson, Rabbeinu Tam, which is a twist of irony. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm confused. When we say soccer, we don't mean just stomp pork, he means
No. Sach means you interrupted. You were mafsik. You shmoozed. You spoke between putting on one and the other. And you're supposed to put on your shayyan and shalosh without no interruption. Now the Gemara says if you did interrupt, so then something has to happen. So according to the question is what happens. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, then you make two brachas on your shalosh, and you have to make two brachas on your shalosh. But when you don't speak, when the Gemara says loy sach mevarach achas, that doesn't mean you make one brach on both tefillin. It means you make one brach on the shalosh, and you also make a brach on the shalyat. That's why Rabbeinu Tam learned the Gemara. So it's mamash a straight up machloikis rishayim how to read this Gemara. What does the Gemara mean when it means loy sach mevarach achas sach mevarach shtayim?
Is there a machloikis between Rabbeinu and
Yes. Kaputa, yes. That's how Rashi learned the Gemara's teretz. Sometimes we go this way, sometimes. Not necessarily, right. That's what comes out.
So the halacha, if I said l'haniach tefillin and then I spoke, what do I do?
So it depends. We'll see in the Shulchan Aruch, it depends what you spoke and how you were mafsik. If you were mafsik for davar shebekdusha versus mafsik for stam chatter. So this is the machloikis rishayim that's going to depend on what we do every single morning. According to Rashi, one bracha goes on both. According to Rabbeinu Tam, each tefillah, meaning tefillin, gets its own bracha. If you look in the Gilyan Hashas, that's right above number 7, the Gilyan Hashas quotes over here, Helri li chacham echad, that chacham li showed me that it is a mefurish medrash tanchuma that backs up Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam is a tanchuma that backs him up. Now the truth is, the Shita Mekubetzes points this out on the side of number 8, that there's kamat mefurish gemara in brachas that backs up Rabbeinu Tam. What's the gemara in brachas? The gemara says like this, so the Shita Mekubetzes number 8, the Shita Mekubetzes of Menachas is on the side of the gemara. So he writes, the Eina Nira Cain, he doesn't like Rashi's Peshab, but Mesechus Brachas, because the Gemara says in Brachas, Shahidach Mufarish, say the Mea Brachas, Shahad Machayav Avarach Bachoyer. The Gemara over there in Brachas, and this is something we also spoke about previous Shurim, the Gemara discusses the 100 Brachas that one is supposed to say every single day. So the Gemara gives you a whole list of Brachas. The Gemara tells you, Kimosha Yodim Vachat Esedayim. The Gemara says, when you wash your hands, make on this dime. And then the Gemara says, Kimonach Tvilim, Shayyan, Vavarach Lanich Tvilim, Vashal Rosh, Al Mitzvah Tvilim. It's before Shah Gemara. Now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that Gemara is beautiful, because that's what you're supposed to do. Rashi is going to learn that Gemara means what? L'chein nira loisach mevarach? V'yeshlitchas that he debrachas the marid de'in le'ala achas mem shal yad levad, shal reish levad. Maybe that Gemara is talking about you only have one tefillah at each time. Which means, I'm putting on my tefillah shal yad in the morning, and then later on I'm going to put on my tefillah shal reish. That's a big daichik. So therefore, Zog the Shita Mikubetza, that Gemara in Brachas says like the Seder HaYoyim is every morning you wash your hands, and every morning you put on tefillin, and you make a laniach on the yad, and shal a mitzvah tefillin on the Rosh. So therefore, Zog the Shita Mikubetza, it's a Kamat Mefurish Gemara, like Rabbeinu Tam. The Aruch HaShulchan brings this as a right. There's a very long Vilna Gaon when the Vilna Gaon tries to answer up this Gemara, not for now, but I'm just going to mention that this Gemara seems to be a very stark Araya to the camp of Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah. Right. We'll talk about that a little later also, to see that there's probably a steer in what the Chofetz Chaim did about whether or not you count that, because that's going to go to the cheshbon of 100 brachas. So the tour in number 9, the tour writes, you make the bracha b'tzivanu l'aniach tefillin, v'yachakach shal roish, v'yivarach hashek b'shonim b'tzivanu al-mitzvah tefillin. So the tour, paskins, you make 2 brachas. Then he writes, "Afal pisher Reb Alfis pasuk she'in levarach al shteim elabracha achas shehileniach." Even though the Rif paskin, not like me, the Rif paskin, you only make 1 bracha laniach, and that laniach goes on both. Elim ken yafsik b'neim b'dibush oz levarach al shalroish al mitzvah tefillin. The exception is if you spoke, which means if a person made laniach and then he put on the tefillin, then he spoke, then he has to make a second bracha on the shalroish. But according to the Rosh, you always make al on the shalroish al mitzvah tefillin. Says the Rosh, v'chein kasav Rashi v'habim meham mechabrim. Says the Torah, it's not, many Rishonim hold, like the Rif and Rashi, that you only make 1 bracha every single morning. V'adoini yavir Rosh, but my tata the Rosh, hiskim sheish levarach shtei brachas. But my father the Rosh held you make 2 brachas. So if you're counting the Rishonim, we have Rashi and the Rif on one side, and the Rosh and the Torah on the other side. That's correct. The Gemara is, it's a Kipshuta is learning the way Rashi learned the Gemara. The Beis Yosef in number 10 quotes the Ogur. Fascinating Ogur. The Ogur writes this. Says the Ogur, I found a Zoyar. And if you want to figure out what to do, I found a Zoyar. The Zoyar writes about Pashas Pinchas, Maimer de Reb Shimon ben Yochai. The Maimer of Reb Shimon ben Yochai. There are some people who don't want to call things the Zoyar. So they call it Maimer de Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Okay, i.e. the Zayir. Okay, we assume Yishmael Chayim wrote the Zayir. So that's the Zayir. It says over there, the Ein Levarach Hashneim El Bracha Achas, that the Zayir writes the Parshas Pinchas that you should only make 1 brach. Now, why is this important for us? Because who often follows Zayir? Besides for Sfaradim, the Chassidim. Chassidim follow the Zayir. So if there's Taka Zayir and Parshas Pinchas, that perhaps should sway where the Chassidish Minag is. So the Zayir writes, "V'zal Shaina Amr Reb Shimon Tefillin Inron Al Mucha LeKabel Zchur V'Tefillin Derona Smola Alavi." Okay, it goes to Holosh and Zayir, and says the Ogur Vanit. I'll skip to the next line of grouping of lines. Vanit Tameisi Al Heni Rav VeHacholka Reb Shimon Yechai. Frank the Ogur, I don't get it. How can anyone argue on Reb Shimon Yechai? How can anyone argue on Reb Shimon Yechai? Im Hayushiyadu Maimer Zeh. If they would have known there's a Zayir, how can you even argue? The Velt doesn't do it. I don't get it, says the Ogur, because if how could these Rishonim argue on the Zayir, but there's a Zayir. Says the Beis Yosef, I don't know what's bothering the Ogur. Where have you been, the Ogur? You're so nispal that we don't follow every Zayir? We don't follow every Zayir. We're not Meshubit every Zayir. He says, first of all, maybe they didn't know the Zayir. And he said, if they knew the Zayir, big deal. Why have you chayshil hubam mark in the pog that Talmud did he done? If I'm a foreshim, the oilam tzarech levarach shtayim, mashma hud beherja kama, Talmudai. Those who make 2 brachas, they thought that's what the Gemara is saying. So they'll tell you, well, I have a foreshim Gemara, and you have a Zayir. Okay, come a foreshim Gemara, beats out a Zayir. So therefore, Zakh Tebe says, if I don't know why the Ogre were so amazed by this, it's a foreshim Zayir. Okay, there's a lot of foreshim Zayirs that we don't always reckon with. Then concludes the Beis Yosef. Now he writes over here, and first of all, he says, first of all, maybe they never saw the Zayir, maybe they had another way to read the Zayir, so the Beis Yosef doesn't lose sleep over it. But then he concludes in number 11, he writes, V'harash b'kosev b'tshuva k'divik tzas ha-go'inim, V'harif, sh'am mush'im v'varech n'al b'racha achas al shteyim, onu no'igim at kan, v'chein halacha. So the Beis Yosef, I'm taking a stand. I have a Rashba, I have a Rif, and he writes, I have a Rambam. We know the rule for the Beis Yosef is 2 out of 3. He doesn't have the Rosh, because the Rosh goes and the Torah go in the camp of 2 brachas, but the Beis Yosef says, I got a Rif, I got a Rambam, I got a Rashba, I'm good to go. Maskimim b'kach v'kol shkein sh'rashi v'rashba savim kein v'chein nagu ha'oilam sh'loi levarach ela bracha achas levad. Therefore, concludes the Beis Yosef, I'm a 1 bracha guy, I got enough Rishonim on my side, therefore I'm going to be 1 bracha, and this is where the Shulchan Aruch writes this idea of 1 bracha. If you look at number 12, the Shulchan Aruch writes it mefurish. V'yivarech laniach tefillin. You should make one brach of laniach tefillin. V'yachgach yaniach shalroish. Then you put on your shalroish. V'lo yivarech ki in bracha achas l'shneim. One bracha goes on both. That is what we call today minig of the Svardim. That's the Beis Yosef, based on what he saw and records in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, that shouldn't be any major surprise. That's the Beis Yosef paskening like Rashi. Comes along the Ramah, the Yeshayim Rim Levarach Al Shal Rosh Amitzvah Tefillin Afid Lo Hifzik Binayim. But there's a Yeshayim Rim, i.e. Rabbeinu Tam, i.e. The Torah, i.e. the Rosh, that say no, that you make two brachas, V'chein Poshet Aminig B'bnei Ashkenaz. And that became the common practice amongst Ashkenazic Jews, European Jews, Shemavarchim Shtei Brachas. Fine. So this is, so far, nothing is crazy. This is a good old fashioned machloekis b'shoinim. Shulchan Aruch like Rashi, we like Rabbeinu Tam. But here's where things get lebedik. Concludes the Ramah. V'toiv loymar tomin achar habrocha hashniya baruch sheim kvein machusa leilam vayin. But it's good at the conclusion every single day when you make the bracha of Amitzvah Tefillin, you should recite baruch sheim kvein machusa leilam vayin. This is where things get lebedik. Why? Where do you say Baruch Shem Kvei Malchus Soleil Omved? When you made a bracha of Atal, you accidentally made a bracha that you shouldn't have, so you want to fix it up by giving a Shevach to Kodesh Baruch Hu, so you say Baruch Shem. But over here, you tell me we pass on the Kabbalah of Tam. We have Machloikis and we shine them all day long. That's what we Jews do. We have Machloikis. And when we pick a side, we pick a side and we stick behind it. We're not embarrassed to pick a side. Also now over here, oh, we're not sure, maybe Rashi's right. It's a bracha. What's going on over here? We hold like Rabbeinu Tam. We're a big Rabbeinu Tamer. So why are we making a Baruch Shem Kvei Malchus Soleil Omved?
We do with mezuzah.
We do it with mezuzah. What do you mean, make a pshara? Yeah. Here we're not making a pshara. Here we're saying, again, we paskin like Rashi and how to write the mezuzahs, and then we write it that way. We paskin this way, we do it. All of a sudden now we're nervous about bracha, shein etzrich. Right? It's a very, very, very hard thing to understand. So Mishnah Berurah explains it. He writes, why should you say Baruch Shem? Says Mishnah Berurah number 13. Mishum chshash savik bracha levatala. Because of the chshash bracha levatala. K'mesh yukasa b'sim in reishvav. So after Mishnah Berurah, one second. V'lo yishu savik gomer. This is not a real suffix. Why? You can't do this every single day. You're not allowed to do that. No. We're confident. We don't have, you know, issues about making decisions. We can make decisions. We're Rabbeinu Tamers. But, you know, what does it hurt? Like, you know, what does it hurt, says the Mishnah Berurah. Avada, no one's doubting that we passed like a bit of time, but you know what? Just lohaitzi be from any pickbook, it doesn't hurt to say Baruch Shem Kamal Chosay Lomvat. Says Mr. Beruvait, if Yizor Ma'id, we should be very careful, Shaloyim Baruch Shem Rak Achshe Yadik Hashal Roish Al Aroish Karo. Many people are in such a rush, so they say the Baruch Shem before the Tefillin is in its proper place. Dim Loi Ken Ye Hefzik Ben HaBrach L'Hanoch, that's even worse. Then you're going to make a Hefzik between the Bracha and actually doing the Mitzvah.
That's even better,
because
this way...
Then you have to never... The problem is you're not going to make another bracha afterwards. But the guy's not going to make another bracha. So, this is what we all do today, Ashkenazim Jews, most of us. We'll see, not all of us. But most of us Ashkenazim who follow the Ramah, we make our two brachas and we say our Baruch Shem. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan writes over here, number 14. He calls this Ramah, and in the middle of it he writes... he writes over here, he doesn't get it. He writes third line, fourth line in. He says, V'einai muvin klal. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, I do not understand this Ramah whatsoever. The Mamon of Shach. Im hadovim mirupa biyadeinu. If you're not sure, the lechen yamir baruch shem kvei machus ali, lomaloy le baruch vach achas, kadin kol savi baruch zahakal. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, so why do we even make it from the get-go? We have a rule, so let's skip it. Vim adin bar biyadeinu imke lomaloy lomar, why are we saying it? Ube'emis ha-levush hishmitzeh. Points out the Aruch HaShulchan, the levush did not have this. And there are yidden today that don't say Baruch Hashem because they think the whole thing is ridiculous. Either Ramah says it, okay. Either Ramah says it. Then he writes over here, "Vegam a bach pikpok bazeh." Then he writes, "Upshuta inu chaloymer de bnei Ashkenaz psikol hu detzorach shnei brachos." Says the Aruch HaShulchan a very, very interesting thing. He says, "Avada bnei Ashkenaz paskin that you need two brachos." V'rak Rabbeinu Ramah rofi biyodoi. The Ramah was a little uncomfortable with changing the minhag. He does it all day long. I don't know why also now he was uncomfortable. For the Shanis HaMinag, Yefsher, he's saying that the Ramah was the one that just felt not so comfortable changing the minhag. So he said, you know what? Just to make everything smooth, everything out, you know, let's say Baruch Shem. Well, if he said Mish, listen to this. What?
It was always the
depends where you lived. It was the minhag if you lived in Rabbeinu Tam's town, but if you lived in Rashi's town, which they weren't so far off. But listen to this. He says, Lefiza Misha Libay Nokfoy. Yochel Varch, Brach Achas. Bishamanush Ezek Doylem Hoy Mahadrim. Laanis Omen, Bain Shayal Sharosh. Vayichoshim Zel Hefsik. Lein Yelavarch Asharosh Lachaladeus. He says, Lefiza Misha Libay Nokfoy. Yochel Varch, Brach Achas. Some guy can't handle it. He should take a make one bracha. He says, I saw some people that would daf could answer omen min shayal sharoish, but yichoshim zel hefsik, so they can make a hefsik, and then they could be yitzah according to all days. Then he writes over here, Zok to Aruch HaShulchan, alom de shepshat. He writes, we're going to see that. Shulchan is going to talk about it.
If you make a hefsik, you do two
brachas. Right. That's what he said. That's what Rashi would tell you to do. Right, right. So we'll see. Zok to Aruch HaShulchan. Well, in this state, near that mirrors brachas and koyim achosoy ainim etam savik bracha. Says Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to tell you my own pshat. Even though the Ramon Darki Moshe says mafurish, why you say Baruch Shem? The Rosh Hashanah has his own pshat, as we'll see. So does Rosh Sternbach, as does Rabbi Soloveitchik. So he writes this Rosh Hashanah. He says elam etamach. I have my whole another twist on why we say Baruch Shem. What is that? Va'avsha apoyskim kosu shu mitam ze mikomak hamilig nili mitamacher. Says Rosh Hashanah. Even though the Ramon gives you a reason, I'm going to give you my own reason to why I think the minig devolved, because the Ramon's reason is it ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. Any person who learns Hachas Brachas, no, that doesn't make sense. So why would it become the accepted custom for Ashkenazim Jew to say Baruch Shem? It must be there's something else here. Zog Baruch Shem, what is that? He says, Dini kva dikdak, nu deichef shavach shtei brachas al-dov rachat, v'gam yesh mishe hikshal al-ikash shittes Rabbeinu Tam. He said, the whole Rabbeinu Tam is shver. Why? Shai reshaninu b'tzei sefte de brachas perek vav. Because, again, around the perek alfam de meisers, de mafresh truma v'trumas meiser, or meiser sheni ka'achas. Let's say you take off a bunch of trumas and meisers, different ones at the same time. So you're doing a bunch of different mitzvahs. So Allah is mevarach bracha achas lekulan. One bracha goes for all them. V'imkein echi taknu shtei brachas al shnei tefillin. So why do we have two brachas on the two tefillin? These are one of the major kashas that the Achronim deal with. L'chein nirli de brachas al mitzvah tefillin he brichas hoyda. Says Aruch HaShulchan, a whole new spin on it. Do you know why you make a bracha on the mitzvah tefillin? It's not a bracha on the kiyam hamitzvah. It's a bracha on hoyda. Because this mitzvah connects us to Hashem in an unbelievable level. We're thanking Hashem that you give us the ability to connect to you via your tefillin. How do we connect? Through Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem go together. So since our tefillin represents Hashem's Yichudoi, Hashem is one, the way we respond to that is with a Baruch Shem. That's why we say Baruch Shem. That's his spin on it.
Is the original one that we wanted to avoid a
problem? Yeah, he says that can't be. He says it can't be. He says that can't be the reason.
That's the
problem.
That's
what I think he meant to say. Right. What he meant to say really is like this. I think the Ramos reason is not good. So why did the minig stick? Because of my pshat. That's what he tried to say. I'll show you the documentation in a second. That's clearly not the Ramos reason. No question. But it's a nice idea. It's a nice little drush. If you want to say drush on tefillin, it's very nice. Reb Moshe Sternbach has another spin, like the Aruch HaShulchan, number 60, he writes, a different idea. He writes, "V'hinei ba'hanochas tefillin isa b'shochanoch sheichav manochas in sheish b'em yichud shmoy." So it's come out the idea of the Aruch HaShulchan that tefillin has an idea that Hashem is one. That's what we mentioned earlier. That when a person puts on his tefillin, he has to remember that. So therefore, he says, "Me'at isyash v'divrei Rabbeinu Ramah kimin choymer." The be'etzim amirus baruch shem achar brichas tefillin who dover she'toyv gam lepoyskim shalach levarach al tefillin shayal al mitzvah tefillin. He says, "You know what? It's even for the people who make the bracha." Ha'yulu b'ze yoytze mechshashim shemayim v'atol l'chol adeis tevad olamikim. On a regular other shayla, you never say Baruch Shem. He says, but because the Baruch Shem has nothing to do with the bracha over here. It has to do with the kabbalas al malchus shemayim, similar to the Aruch HaShulchan. And if you look at number 17, Rabbi Soloveitchik and Rishim Meshurim says a similar idea. He writes, ulechor yifle. Why do you make two brachas on one mitzvah? This is the Aruch HaShulchan called it a shevach vahidah. Rabbi Soloveitchik says there's two things that take place when you put on tefillin. There's the mitzvah, that's lohaniach, and the al mitzvah is what? He calls it ulishma'usim legavra shalovash tefillin b'roishai. He means that I'm thanking Hashem. One is a straight up brichas hamitzvah, and one is that now I'm a different person because I'm wearing tefillin. We call it gavra My body is different because I'm wearing tefillin. So the first bracha that I make is acknowledging the mitzvah that I did. The second bracha is acknowledging the matzif that I'm in now. Now that I'm wearing tefillin, I'm a different person. My body is a different level of kedusha. That's what the second bracha reflects. He says, like the Rambam says, kedusha tefillin kedusha san gedoylehi. She calls ma'asha tefillin b'reishay shel adam ve'al zeraya hu anav v'yerushmayim. Your body goes through a change, a spiritual change when you're wearing tefillin. Says Rabbi Salavichik, that's what the second bracha is. Yoitze ki brichas al mitzvah stilin u brichas lishmor chukov doimos kishtein shaykhaz kdushas atfilin v'loi lemaisa hamitzvah pshut eshal hanoch. Again, similar to the Aruch HaShulchan, but a different spin. The bracha is not reflective of the kima mitzvah. The bracha is reflective of the matzv that now I find myself in. Now that I'm muhtar bitfilin, I'm a different person, that's what the bracha al mitzvah tfilin is. Lohan niyach is the act of putting. Al mitzvah tfilin is on the idea that I have tfilin, now I am a different person, that's what that bracha reflects. So, no. He's explaining some as a why, the idea of the two brachas.
Yeah. Can you add on to it, like what we said from last week, and maybe that's the difference, even though between talis and tefillin, the tefillin's a much bigger thing.
That's right.
Also, why don't you make a bracha al mitzvahs talis?
That's right.
No, it's exactly.
That's right.
It must be that
it's supposed to be the madrega. It's supposed to not just be the maisa. We saw similar svaras like this Sunday morning when the bracha is a continuous versus a one-time thing.
Right.
Okay, a very nice idea. Now, all this is fine and dandy until you actually read the Ramah inside in the Dakei Moshe. You read the Ramah in the Dakei Moshe, he writes, Umin Hagenu, our custom is Levarach Shtei Brachas, Kaskomas Haram Vaharosh Vaharan, Davi Basrayu, Vehiskim Lodas Roiva Goenim Levarach Shtei Brachas, Vein Lashanis, Umikom Okim Toiv Lema Baruch Shem Kamachusoy Lomva et Kedivari Ben Chaviv, Vein Zenikum Mavi the Day Brachal Vatol Machash Nira, Shalach Levarach Shtei Brachas, Vlaimina Baruch Shem Kamachusoy Loilam Rak Lerav Chadamilsa. So he says it's not a real bracha batala because we know we paskin, but it's the Rav Chalimosa, you know, icing on the cake. So it's very clear from the Dakei Moshe that the reason why he's saying Baruch Shem is to somehow fix or to make bracha batala better. Nothing to do with any of the other fancy svaras that we saw in the other achra. It's not his chiddush. He's quoting from other rishonim. Okay, so if we were to stop right here, we'd say who makes one bracha, who makes two brachas? Ashkenazim make two, Sfarim make one. Not so fast. The Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon writes in his Sefer Maaseh Rav, and this is what the Vilna Gaon writes on his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch. He writes, "Soch mevarach shtayim. If you spoke, you make two brachas. Lo yisach mevarach achas kepirish Rashi." The Vilna Gaon held like Rashi. He thought Rashi was more mistavra. Now, although the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch says the opposite, that didn't stop the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon argued on the Ramah, he argued on the Machaber. The Vilna Gaon did what he wanted, what he thought was right, and therefore the Vilna Gaon made one bracha on his tefillin, just laniach, and that was it.
Is it strange that we have all these poskim and shon saying that it depends on whether you messed up and spoke in between?
No, that's just how you read the Gemara. In a case where you don't interrupt, so then according to Rashi, you make one bracha, according to many times, you make two brachas. Just that if you'll speak, then according to everyone, you'll have to make two brachas. That's just so he's just reading the words of the Gemara to you, but he's bringing out the point that the Vilna Gaon held like Rashi. Now, here's always a question. So who's a real gronik? Everyone says, I'm a gronik. Yeah, really? The grunts that you know that are gishmak and that are fun, you're a grunik. How many people are real grunics over here? So there are those. If you look over here, number 20. So here, now I'm on the Vilna Gaon is bavos, the Vilna Gaon made one brach. Now the question is, what did the Chafetz Chaim do? Okay. So now we all know, and this is something we always have to remember, the Chafetz Chaim did not write every line in Mishnah Berurah. Okay, this is old news, but for some reason it's still new news to some people, so we'll say it again. The Chafetz Chaim did not write every line. He was the editor of the Mishnah Berurah. He did not write every comment. So if you have a steer in Mishnah Berurah, it's not really such a steer. Okay. Now, with that Hagdama, what do you think the Mishnah Berurah did? What did the Chafetz Chaim do every single morning? So there is a Mishnah Berurah, number 20, in Semen Mem Vav. When we went through the sugya of 100 brachas, so there the Mishnah Berurah did the math for you, and he told you how to get to 100 brachas. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, well, every morning you start off with 22. Where? Hari Esim Mishnaim. Ubrichas Sitzit V'Tfilin. Hari Oicholish. You have three from Tfilin. Lefi Min Hagenu. According to our custom, Shemavarchim Shtayim, Alat Tefillin. So if you read that Mishnah Berurah, you get the feeling that what did the Chafetz Chaim probably do? He probably made two brachas, right? If you look in 21, the Nitta Gavriel writes in the bottom that V'chein Nogu HaChafetz Chaim HaChazinish V'Gisoy HaKilos Yankiv Levorik Rak Lohaniach. He records that the Chafetz Chaim, the Chazinish, these were very Ashkenazic people, right? The Chafetz Chaim, the Chazinish, and this type of all made only one bracha on the Tefillin Shayat. Now, is that a steer to what he writes in the Mishnah Berurah? Love Davka. Doesn't bother me that much. However, if you look over here in number 22 in the Sefer Siach Halacha, he writes, I'm not sure, it's a pretty popular sefer. He writes, the cost of Kenach Chofetz Chaim b'sifrei Machne Yisrael u'b'sifrei Nitche Yisrael d'noyegim l'mais l'varach beis brachos u'kapsak haramah. I did not find that in either of those two farm. I looked up both of them and I did not see where he found that. But he thinks the Chofetz Chaim made two brachas. Okay. Maybe, yeah, maybe not, I don't know. I don't lose too much sleep over it. But it's interesting that at least in the Mishnah Brura, he sounded like that most people make two brachas. Reb Shlomo Zalman made one bracha. If you look at number 23, Alicha Shlomo, Rabbeinu, loy beirach al mitzvahs tefillin kedas Rabbeinu hagra, ukeminega perushim be'eretz Yisrael. So, we have quite a few Litvish gedolim. Chazanish, Stipler, Shlomo Zalman, maybe even the Chofetz Chaim, the Vilna Gaon, all made one bracha. Okay, so to say it's Ashkenazim versus Svarim is not 100% accurate, because there were quite a few Ashkenazim who made only one brach. Based on this concept, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes the following idea. He writes, why do we say Baruch Shem Kvei Machus Alayim Vayed? V'atam Shetzarech Leim Abishah Baruch Shem Hum Neshik Shtat Safik B'Bracha Zois. It's a question in the bracha. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you have a big problem now. If it's a Safik Vashem, make this bracha, so there's a Safik if you should answer Amen to this bracha. Okay, nearly, so the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch comes up with his own Chiddush, which again, by and large, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch did not come up with his own Chiddush. By and large, he just recorded what was going on. Every once in a while, he throws you a Chiddush, and this is one of those. He comes up with a Chiddush, Ki toiv levarach bracha zois belachash. You should always recite that second bracha, belachash. He says, based on the Ramban Shulchan Aruch that says he's supposed to say Baruch Shem, that means you're not really so convinced that this is a real bracha. So if you're not so sure if you should make the bracha, then why should I answer Amen to your bracha? So you should say it with Baruch Shem, but I shouldn't answer Amen. So therefore, say it b'chashoy. Say the bracha quietly.
Is there any reason it just became accepted that pretty much everyone evenly sat there, b'tzitzis and also... Well, yeah, people make it quietly too. Nobody says those brachas out loud.
It's not right. Again, the truth is, the Agrado would have argued the reason why you shouldn't make those brachas out loud because there's going to be that guy that might be between his tefillin and shayyan and his tefillin shavar, who's going to answer amen, which is not correct. Huh. Maybe that's why we don't do it. But,
I mean,
100%. No.
You know, it's every other part of that. I mean, people are making brachas out loud.
And right. So it's not so negated the chiddush of the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. It's more negated to the lomdus that he's saying. He's saying that since the Ramah told me that the bracha is questionable, I'm going to take it a step further. Yeah.
I was Makar from a hostage at the Minchas Halasa, and he told me this.
So let's say quietly.
Yeah, he heard me saying the bracha loudly.
He told you to say quietly. Yeah. Now, I don't think that's necessarily the accepted custom. I'll show you that. I don't think the Mishnah Berurah holds like that. First of all, because the Mishnah Berurah never writes that you have to do this. Mishnah Berurah never once records this Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. He never tells you that you have to say it quietly. And I would argue the same conclusion that the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch made, the Ramah probably could have also said, and he doesn't. So therefore, I don't think you have to. First of all, if you hold like the Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Moshe Sternbuch, the Baruch Shem has absolutely nothing to do with the Baruch HaVatal. Therefore, you have no right to make that jump. So I'm not so convinced that this has to be the halach. It is recorded by the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which carries weight, but I'll prove to you in a few minutes I don't think everyone agrees to it.
According to Mishnah Berurah says you only hold one. The other people that quote him said that they...
No, Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchos Simen Mem Vav that the minhag is to make two brachas.
He counts it in 100
brachas. It's two.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Are we mafsik at any time between the brachas for instance, the answer to...
No. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes, but really one should not. That's why one should, we're going to even talk about a little later to, maybe not tonight, maybe a little next week, that there's even a question if you're even allowed to kiss your tefillin shorosh. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, Rabbi Salvechik has a piece about it. Are you even allowed, you see these people, they go, they kiss for like an hour. I don't know what they're doing, but that's questionable. It's real questionable. You might not even be allowed to do anything.
And really, why can't you kiss it?
Might be a hefsek. Between the shorosh, kissing the shorosh.
When, after you make the bracha?
No, before you take it out, you kiss it.
Also,
many people, they pull down their sleeve. So I stopped doing that. I thought that's a hefsek also. That takes time. You know, you put on the shoyad, and then you got to start finagling with the sleeve to get it over the box, and then you put on the shalresh. That could take significant amount, more time than it does to kiss the shalresh, for sure. And if the poskim were tumbling about kissing the shalresh, I don't think it's right. I think you should mamish. We'll even talk about not everyone wraps around the seven times. We'll get to that also. Well, yeah, it's going to have to be for next week, I think. But in any case, Reitzim Shlomo Zalman number 25, Alicha Shlomo, Birchas Amitzvah Tvilin, Toiv Levarcha Belachash. Shlomo Zalman. says you should make it quietly. So the person who listens shouldn't have to answer Rami because it's a question. So Shlomo Zalman did take this Kitzur Shulchan Aruch seriously, but if you look in, we'll have to skip 25b. 25b is a Geshmak of Kveger. Kveger has a whole chap to how you can make two brachas without feeling guilty. Why? Let's just read it quickly because it's one of those geshmaki b'kvegas you can't pass up. He writes, "Be'er Aloch calls 25b. Be'er Agro shepasuk kemechab. The Vilna going pass was like the mechab. We saw that already. Ubechadush b'kveger kasav eitzah. Sheichavim be'ez brachas laniach. Zaki b'kveger the following idea: when you make the laniach on the shalroish, have the following in mind." Im halacha kishitas Rashi, if Rashi is right, they only make one bracha. So ani mechavin shaloi lotzeis bebrachas laniach hashal roish. Then I don't want this bracha to extend onto my shal roish. V'havizek kisach, it's like I was mafsik. V'yuchal levarach al shal roish. Then I can make a bracha on my shal roish. So zokti b'kveger, I have a gavaldik gechab. Every morning, have this in mind that if that's like Rashi, so then I want lohaniach to go on only on my shal roish, and I don't want it. I don't want it to go on the shal roish. I don't want it to go on the shal roish, right? So therefore, ani mechavin shaloi lotzis bebrechas laniach al shal roish. I do not want this to go on to my shal roish. Vavizek kisach. Therefore, it's keilu now that I'm being mafsik. V'yuchal levarach al shal roish. And now I can feel comfortable making al mitzvah tefillin on my shal roish. He writes v'ein ze bechal garim baruch hashem etzvicha. The mocha classes came in neisveka d'dina. He writes v'kar kodmo oilos tomid and the prim begodim ubarash zechayim mash v'gam kim shemask meitzu ach prim begodim reisi shemisayim alzev v'enei lino kein v'ulai tamoy k'dei shalei yargol odem asasme l'fakvik al acha minig shal Yisrael. This guy's going to be so long that he's going to start thinking every minig is a joke. So he's going to try to beat the system. Kveger says he doesn't like it. Okay, this for a different time. So it says the Sefer Siach Halacha, he says he has a gavaldik pshat. Do you know why you should make amitzah still and quietly? A totally different reason. We talked about this once, not in this shiur. We spoke about this once in the main shul many years ago. There's a big machloikis if you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, right? We spoke about this. And the question is, the Ramah writes, so even those people who make a bracha on the tefillin, they should make the brachas quietly. And the Taz jumps on him. What are you talking about? Make brachas quietly? So the Taz says, because we're afraid fist fights are going to break out in shul. You're wearing tefillin, and you're not wearing tefillin. Everyone's going to go crazy. So says the Siach Halacha here also. If you're going to make the Al Mitzvah tefillin out loud, not everyone's making Al Mitzvah tefillin. So I'm going to hear, what are you doing making Al Mitzvah tefillin? We don't paskin like that. So he said, that's why you make the bracha quietly. The same reason why you make the bracha quietly when you put on tefillin and chol hamoed. Because you don't want there to be a fight. You're making bracha, you're not making bracha. You're right, you're wrong. Therefore he says, that's why, a whole different shot. Nothing to do with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, nothing to do with Tzavak Brachas L'Hakol, just so you don't want to make a fight over one is and one is not. Now, halavai, we got so fired up about these types of things in shul, but that was once the case. So he writes in number 27, that he has a gavaldik raya. That the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch disagrees with that Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that we saw. We saw before the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, you make the second bracha quietly, he thinks that's absolutely not true. Why? So I would tell you, because when the Ramah tells us to make the second bracha and say Baruch Hashem, he doesn't write, and therefore also say it quietly. But he doesn't go that route. He says I have a different right. Why? Because the Ramah writes in later on, he says, V'chein noegim b'chol glilas elu, l'anicha b'moid u'l'varach aleihem. He writes that when you put your tefillin on a chol moid, put them on, but make a bracha, elo shei m'varachem aleihem b'kol rom. Don't make the bracha loudly. So what's the obvious diak? That only on Chol HaMoed you make the brachas quietly. But the rest of the year, you make your brachas out loud. I thought you were supposed to say, I'll miss this filling quietly. Alamai, see from the Ramah, not so. And then he has back and forth whether or not that's a good raya or not such a good raya. Where are we holding? Okay, so one last halacha from Reb Shlomo Zalman. Reb Shlomo Zalman writes in number 28. Hamavarech al shal rosh. Let's say you make a bracha on shal rosh, and this happens, I think, more often than you think. The koydim sh'omah baruch shem, hotzich lahafzik b'davar acher. Right? You put on your tefillin shal rosh, and you make your bracha, and you're about to say the baruch shem, and then you're up to your heshmei rabba. So he writes, he thinks once you already interrupted to say something else, like an amen or heshmei rabba, there's no reason to go back and say baruch shem. Because it's all news already. He says, when you say Yehishmei Rabbah, which is declaration, people don't know this, Yehishmei Rabbah is the Aramaic version of Baruch Shem Femal Chesed Adon Vayet. So if you're going to stop to say Yehishmei Rabbah, have in mind that this is fixing my bracha of Baruch Shem Femal Chesed Adon Vayet to what we call today in English, killing two birds with one stone. So therefore, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, that would be gevaldik. But he says, you could kill two birds with one stone.
He says, after you do the Shal Rosh, you should say,
so he's saying, let's say, No, no, he's saying, let's say after I put on my shalroish, so what I'm supposed to say Baruch Shem, but they're about to say Yesh Me'rabba. So he says, say Yesh Me'rabba, and Yesh Me'rabba is the exact same word, and you're good to go, you're finished. You're ready, you say Baruch Shem, you don't say Baruch Shem again afterwards. Now, what happens if, let's say, it's not Yesh Me'rabba, it's Amen, or it's Kedusha, so you should interrupt, and then there's no reason to go back and say Yesh Me'rabba, say Baruch Shem again, you already passed it, you moved on, so you just continue on.
This is only after you said,
you made the bracha. Correct. You made the bracha. You're supposed to say the Baruch Shem immediately, but you didn't. You got involved with something else of importance. You would be masik for that and say the Baruch Shem later. Mr. Shem, next week, we'll discuss the shayla of kissing the tefillin. And believe it, the next week is the last week. Believe it, that we discuss the tefillin. We'll talk about some other practical parts, how long to keep your tefillin on, when to take them off, when not to take them off, other things regarding tefillin as well.